Hello, and welcome to the August edition of Angus Talking Newspaper. My name is Stacy, and I'll be introducing this month's recording. Here are the readers you'll be hearing from. Leslie, reading news from July 24th, Fiona, bringing you articles from July 31st, and Jenny with updates from August 7th. We've also included a helpful update from TNF Recordings about a UK-wide emergency alert test. This test is scheduled to take place on the afternoon of September 7th and will send a message to all compatible mobile phones and tablets. There's no need for concern. It's just a test. But it's good to be aware. And if you're listening via USB, there's an extra feature for you. An inspiring story about a young, visually impaired entrepreneur who has been honored with the King's Trust Enterprise Award. We hope you enjoy this month's edition.
Hello, this is Leslie reading from the newspaper, the Angus County Press, Thursday, July 24th. And on the front page, there's a picture of the new dementia area supporting people with dementia in Kirriemuir for new facilities. A brand new facility to support the work of Kirriemuir Dementia Charity has been opened officially to the public. The new building adjoins Kiddy Connections' current Roots premises and marks a significant expansion in its ability to support people living with dementia and their families across the local community. The project, which received an award of £110,000 from the NHS Tayside Charitable Foundation, was launched with a celebratory event attended by staff, service users, local partners and supporters. This new space, which includes indoor and outdoor areas, will allow Kiddy Connections to extend its reach and offer enhanced services, activities and support groups, providing a warm, safe and inclusive environment for those affected by dementia. The development closely aligns with the Foundation's mission to support initiatives that improve the health and well-being of people across the region. Jackie Dillon, Kiddy Connections' chief executive, said, "This significant funding award from the Foundation ensures that Kiddy Connections can continue to support everyone living with dementia and their families now and in the future, as well as providing a much-needed community facility. Our outdoor space has been transformed and we are excited to bring our ideas to life with our members leading the way." Sam Riddle, Foundation Chairperson, said the organisation is proud to support the Vital project. "This charity will now be able to offer more personalised services, welcome new members and strengthen its partnerships within Angus and beyond." Montrose Farm is the very best. A Montrose berry farm has been listed as one of the best in Scotland from which to pick your own quality soft fruit. With school summer holidays in full flow, thoughts are filling in the long summer days. And for those looking for something a bit different, Scotland Food and Drink has picked out some of the top spots in Scotland to pick your own. And Charlton Farm, to the north of Montrose, has made the list, described as a family-run gem that's perfect for a summer day out. The pick-your-own experience includes wandering through fields brimming with a variety of berries available at the peak of each season. And children can also burn off extra energy in the free farm yard playground, which features go-karts, trampolines, a zip line and sand pits. Payment by the weight of what you pick and no bookings required. It's open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. Printmaker joins National Festival in Stirling. Carnoustie printmaker Caroline Erilyn will be amongst those from Scotland who will be descending on the University of Stirling in mid-August to showcase their artwork in the second printmaking festival. Once again, this festival will include activities aimed at children, such as printmaking using a garden roller and a quiz sheet to win small prizes. There'll also be demonstrations of screen printing, and the university will be demonstrating their own 19th century letterpress. Park's 19th Green Flag. A popular outdoor spot in Bruty Ferry has achieved a Green Flag Award for the 19th consecutive year. Administered by Scotland, in Scotland by environmental charity Keep Scotland Beautiful, the International Green Flag Award acts as a benchmark for clean, safe and well-maintained parks and green spaces. Parks managed by local authorities, community groups, universities and organisations across the country have won an award. This year's total of 88 winners, 8 more than than last year includes new and returning green spaces and is 8 more than in 2024. The Barn Hill Rock Garden, managed by Dundee City Council, is one of just 3 celebrating a 19-year run of wins. While the rock garden is managed by the council, it is also supported by a dedicated group of volunteers, the Friends of Barn Hill Rock Garden. Established in 1955 on a former golf course, the coastal garden showcases a variety of alpine, perennial and shrub plants which are arranged between its stunning rock formations and water features. Vandalism in Carnoustie. Police in Carnoustie are appealing for information from the public following a vandalism incident in the town. During the evening of Saturday, July 12th, the window was intentionally damaged in Selfridge Crescent. Constable Haddon from the Carnoustie policing team said the officers believe that the incident involved multiple people and that it had been extremely distressing for the property owners. Dual treat for garden lovers. There have 2 garden treats have recently been opened in the Angus area. Saturday saw the second opening of this season of the lovely garden at Milton of Finavon, with an emphasis on fun for children. On Sunday, the garden at 15 Fairfield Brutty Ferry, which has recently undergone a considerable redevelopment, will open for the first time. Milton of Finavon dates from the 16th century, and there's plenty of interest, and the garden boasts a meadow, orchard, parterre, kitchen garden and a formal semi-walled garden and woodland. Fairfield Road is a sunny, contemporary garden with many mature trees and shrubs, plus lots of recently planted beds and borders. A shady courtyard contains Japanese aces and spring flowering bulbs, while colourful perennials planted near the house attract pollinating insects. Charity Connection. Former serving Royal Marines recently organised a charity collection table at the Arbroath branch of Morrison's supermarket. The collection was to raise funds for various Royal Marine charities. Dave Barton, RM, chairman of the East of Scotland, RMA, had extended his thanks to the store manager, Jeff Barthorpe, for his assistance and to the Morrison shoppers for their donations, which were very much appreciated. Founded in 2003 and based in Arbroath, the association aims to maintain and promote esprit de corps and comradeship amongst all Royal Marines, to keep them in touch with one another and with the activities of the serving corps, to make RMA membership attractive to as many people as possible, including non-service members who wish to support its aims and give members an important role in developing the branch in line with RMA objectives. And there's a picture of some of the men who were involved in that activity. A life under the ocean wave. Forfar Probers Club were treated at their recent meeting to an insight into life in the Royal Navy's submarine service. As scheduled speaker, Alan Collins was unable to be in Forfar to make his presentation. Personally, fellow club member Bob Kidd had all his notes and pictures to illustrate an exciting, adventurous and sometimes hazardous career in the Navy, especially in the submarines through the 1950s and 60s. Second club visit for respected band. On Sunday, August the 3rd, our Arbroath Accordion and Fiddle Club will welcome back Frank Morrison and his band as the guest artists. Frank and his fellow musicians are well-respected artists who have performed for many years throughout the country and are popular act at accordion and fiddle clubs. The doors at the usual venue of the Meadowbank Inn will open at 1 p.m. and the music starting at 1:30. The club would like especially to welcome young players, giving them an opportunity to hear live music, traditional music, and an opportunity to play. Visitors and new members at the club will all be most welcome on the day. Dragontail Castle fires imagination. A new attraction which will fire the imagination of children and adults alike has opened at Brechin Castle Centre Country Park. Dragontail Castle is a fully bespoke £500,000 wooden play structure like nothing else in the region and is set to become a must-visit destination for families from across Scotland this summer. Designed to spark imagination and active adventure, the 10-metre-high structure, handicraft from natural robina and crowned with a magical dragon on its tallest turret, offers a full-scale storybook experience for children. And there's a picture of it here, and I must say it looks pretty good fun if you are young and agile and can climb easily. Connecting over coffee and cake. Scottish independent broadband provider GoFibre is marking a major milestone in Kirriemuir with more than 500 local customers now connected to its ultra-fast full fibre broadband network. To celebrate the Go Fibre, it's teaming up with Peel Farm Coffee and Crafts to host a community event. Local residents and businesses who attend and register their interest with Go Fibre will be treated to a complimentary coffee and cake in the cafe. They will also be automatically entered into an exclusive prize draw to win 2 years free broadband. A well-loved destination, Peel Farm Coffee and Crafts has grown from humble beginnings into a vibrant hub of food, crafts and rural hospitality. The farm, run by the Fleming family for three generations, was diversified in 1984 by Francis Fleming, who began serving afternoon teas from the farmhouse sun parlour. Claire Fleming, owner, said, "We've always seen Peel Farm as a place for connections, whether that's over a coffee, a walk, or a shared love of local crafts. Partnering with Go Fibre for this event feels like a natural fit. Go Fibre's investment in Kirriemuir is part of its wider community to rural communities, commitment to rural communities. In 2024, through its Go Further Fund, the company supported dementia charity Kirri Connections. Arbroath top for driving test passes. Three Angus towns have made it into the top of the UK's most nerve-wracking test centres which to take your driving test. The study analysed the official gov.uk stats from April to September 2024 to identify where learners have the best chance at success across Britain. Arbroath tops the nationwide rankings with a 78.57 pass rate from 168 tests, meaning nearly four in five candidates walk away with a full licence. And now we move to some sport. Sandy takes the smaller wins and just moves on. Forfar driver Sandy Mitchell came through a testing GT World Challenge Europe Sprint Pro Cup doubleheader at Miasso in Italy. Mitchell again partnered teammate Hugo Cook in the number 78 Lamborghini Huracan GT3 Evo 2 prepared by Barwell Motorsports. The 25-year-old said, "For the opening qualification session on Saturday, the Lamborghinis were the heaviest on the grid due to balance of performance measures. In reality, we were giving away almost 60k to the Aston Martins and Ferraris. With searing temperatures on the Adriatic coast, the conditions further aided the mid-engined machines on the 44-car grid. Saturday saw Cook qualify 13th among the pro cars and in the cooler evening temperatures climbed to 11th in the class. With 28 minutes remaining, Mitchell took over, quickly rattled off a series of personal fastest laps, overtaking a number of cars in the process. He finished 16th overall, an improvement of 13 places from the 78th starting position and 11th in the class. So well done to him. Second string provide a shock in season opener. This is all about tennis. Montrose Tennis Club's first mixed doubles teams started the season with a surprising home defeat last week to the club's second team. Despite fielding North Angus double champions Hannah Simpson and Scott Henderson, the first team went down loved 10-2. The second team was led by brothers Jack and Lewis Murison, who cannot play every week because of other commitments. Meanwhile, Montrose members Cameron Fryer and Patrick Young reached the final of the Scottish Grass Court Championships in Giffnock on Sunday, but lost 6-3, 6-3 to English players Theo Coates and Thomas Giles. Even further afield, Arbroath's teenage rising star Charlie Robertson reached the final of a first-level pro tournament in Portugal. The 18-year-old teamed with fellow Brit and US University player Luca Pau, but lost 6-3, 6-7, 1-10 to the Portuguese third seeds. Strathmore gets funding from Scottish Gas to go green. Strathmore is one of 22 community rugby clubs to have been awarded a share of £300,000 through the Scottish Gas Community Net Zero Fund. This is part of a five-year agreement with Scottish Gas to help clubs reduce their energy bills and carbon footprint by funding the retrofitting of modern and inexpensive heating with electrical upgrades. The successful clubs for the first tranche were initially surveyed by Scottish Gas to investigate their existing facilities, including the clubhouse, changing rooms, gym facilities, and other communal spaces. This was followed up with community workshops. Then Scottish Gas used survey results to pinpoint areas where community clubs could improve and where costs were too high. They then worked closely with the clubs to develop plans for reducing these expenses, with the funding being awarded to each club now able to use, being used to tackle the specific issues identified in the survey. Strathmore RFC Business Development Manager Nick Welsh said, "It's so important that clubs like Strathmore improve their facilities so they can continue to be safe places for everyone in the community. Things like installing sustainable heating and reducing energy bills ease the financial pressure for the club so it can focus on its core purpose of supporting people of all abilities and ages to connect and grow through movement." City adding competition for the number one spot. Brechin City have football have signed goalkeeper Craig Hepburn for a season-long loan from St Johnstone. The 20-year-old came through the youth system at McDermott Park and signed a 3-year contract at last summer. He previously had loan spells at Loncarty, Camden Beath and Bonnyrigg Rows and was a trialist for a friendly against Dundee. City boss Ray McKinnon told the club's website, "We're delighted to get Craig on board. He's already played and done well for us and brings good competition for our number one spot." Hepburn made his official debut as City lost 2-0 at Spartans in the group stages of the Premier Sport Cup on Saturday. And the last one, Angus plays host. The best young talent in Scotland will be in action as the ICC Under-19 Men's Cricket World Club Europe qualifier takes place across Angus. Scotland will take on Denmark, Guernsey, Jersey, the Netherlands and Sweden, vying for one qualifying spot in January's World Cup in Zimbabwe and Namibia. The 14-player squad will be led by Forfarshire's Thomas Knight and features two players who were involved in the 2024 ICC Under-19 Men's Cricket Club World Cup in Rory Grant and Manu Sarawat. The Scots get underway next Thursday, that's 31st of July, against Sweden at Lochlands, home of Arbroath United, with Forfarshire and Strathmore also hosting matches. Scotland's Under-19 Men's head coach Keegan Russell said, "It's a huge opportunity heading into the World Cup qualifier. The boys are really excited to get going, but we're also clear that it's going to be a tough tournament and the standards of cricket will be very high."
Angus County Press, Thursday, July the 31st, 2025 edition. This is Fiona here. No breach by ex-provost. Watchdog has cleared the former Angus Provost, Brian Boyd, following an outburst which left a fellow councillor in tears. A Standards Commission hearing was held earlier this month regarding his conduct towards fellow councillor Lewis Speed last June. Mr Boyd resigned as Provost following the incident, which came during a discussion regarding the removal of early years practitioner posts from Primary 1 classrooms. Councillor Speed had called an emergency motion at a full council meeting aiming to reverse this. However, the motion was ruled not competent by Mr Boyd. Brian Boyd said his behaviour fell below his personal standards after footage from the meeting showed him interrupting Miss Speed. Mr Boyd was accused of being a verbal bully by a fellow councillor after the footage emerged. He continued in his role as an independent councillor for the Carnoustie and District Ward. A report from the Standards Commission panel details that, on face of it, Mr Boyd breached section 3.1 of the Councillor's Code of Conduct. This dictates that elected members should treat everyone with courtesy and respect. Skydive to raise funds. A fourth man will take a leap into the unknown in September to raise funds in memory of his late brother. Andrew Buchan will undertake a skydive during a holiday to Italy in support of Scottish Action for Mental Health, SAMH, and is on track to raise a substantial sum. So far, his GoFundMe page has raised just over £550 in the week since it was launched, and his original target of £200 has been raised to £800. Andrew said that Jump for Jamie is to honour his brother's memory, but also has a wider purpose. He said, "The skydive is happening on September the 11th. I'm skydiving to honour my brother's legacy, but I'm also skydiving for all of those people who have suffered or are suffering with mental illness and anxiety, including myself. I want to have a positive impact on their lives, and the fact that I've raised over £500 for mental health charity SAMH already is great. My current goal is £800. I think that would be absolutely wonderful. And the venture will be a first for Andrew, who has never skydived before. But he said that he is keen to push his limits. He continued, "I'm jumping from over 4,200 feet. It's a tandem jump, and one of my best friends is jumping too, which calms my nerves a little bit. I've never undertaken anything like this before, but I wanted to push myself outside of my comfort zone, and skydiving has always been something I've wanted to try." 6-week road surfacing project. Bear Scotland, operating on behalf of Claymore Roads, are set to carry out road surfacing upgrades at 7 locations on the A92 between Arbroath and Monifieth, starting on Sunday, August the 10th. Works will be carried out overnight between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. and are expected to be completed by the morning of Friday, August the 29th. 2.3 million housing project for former Angus school site. The long-awaited redevelopment of the former Kinloch Primary School site in Carnoustie has taken a step forward as a 2.3 million housing plan is revealed. Angus Council has lodged a planning application seeking to erect 11 homes on the vacant land on the corner of Dundee Street and Lynx Avenue. The development would be a mixture of one-bed flats and one- or two-bed wheelchair-suitable cottages. Each would come with a private garden. Kinloch Primary closed in 2006 as part of a reorganisation of local schools. The building was then demolished in 2010. The site has subsequently sat empty for 15 years. Following its demolition, local plans for a community hub and cinema were unveiled. However, these never materialised. Then, in 2017, bakery giant Greggs led a 2 million hybrid proposal with supermarket Sainsbury's for a town square style development. However, local opposition to the plans led to this proposition being shelved. In 2021, Angus Council took the site off the open market. The ground was then transferred to the local authority's housing revenue account and earmarked for future development. It has been used since then for a variety of community events and the Angus Farmers Market. This new housing application will be considered by planners in due course. Wellbeing Fund now open. Organisations can now apply for the Whole Family Wellbeing Fund, WFWF, to support transformational change for families in Angus. The fund can provide small grants of up to £25,000 administered by Voluntary Action Angus, larger grants up to £50,000. An optional £20,000 start-up support is also available for voluntary and community organisations, registered charities, CICs, clubs, not-for-profits, community councils and statutory services. Angus Council is looking for innovative, collaborative proposals that focus on early intervention, prevention and reducing pressure on crisis services. Further information can be found on the Council's Whole Family Wellbeing Fund webpage. The deadline for applications to be submitted is Friday, August the 22nd. Whisky Festival is brought home to Angus venue. The Dram Good Whisky Festival will next month return for a third year, this time at Arbeaky Distillery near Lunan Bay. Hosted by Arbeaky Highland Estate and featuring more than 10 exhibitors from independent distilleries to household names. Tickets are priced at £40 and include the chance to meet the people behind the brands, drams from each of the exhibitors, and attend talks and masterclasses from the makers with a complimentary tasting glass to commemorate the experience. With two time slots available, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. to 8 p.m, the festival on Saturday, August the 16th, promises to showcase some of Scotland's best and boldest new and established whisky producers against a stunning rural Scottish backdrop. John Sterling, co-founder of Arbeaky Highland Estate, said, "Building on the success of our 2023 and 2024 events, we're creating a two-session whisky festival right here at our distillery, showcasing the iconic, the experimental, the contemporary, the sustainable and the ancient. The popularity of the festival over the last 2 years meant it felt the right time to bring it home, as we look to continue to make the event bigger and better for years to come. We're looking forward to welcoming enthusiasts from across Scotland to discover the stories, spirits and people behind some of the industry's most influential brands." New grants launched. Angus Rugby Charity, Strathmore Community Rugby Trust, has introduced a new grant scheme to extend its support for local people of all ages via rugby-based activities and help its players, coaches and volunteers fund taking their rugby further. The award-winning organisation's small grants scheme is offering grants of up to £500 a year to people actively participating in or volunteering at its projects or events to help them further their involvement in rugby union or league via three grant categories. The scheme offers grants of up to £250 a year for people who have been selected to play or train at national or regional level. Applications for its first tranche will open on September the 1st and close on October 31st. New post office confirmed. Carnoustie's post office is moving into new premises on the town's high street, the post office has confirmed. The decision follows a period of local public consultation and review. Latterly, the services have been run by a temporary postmaster. This arrangement maintained access to facilities while the post office sought to appoint a new permanent operator. In a letter from Kenny Lamont, regional change manager, published recently, it was confirmed that it will move to 105 High Street, Carnoustie, as proposed. He said, "All the feedback we received helped us to better understand the views of customers and their representatives, and this was taken into account, along with all other factors, in making our decision." Museum hosts new exhibition. A new exhibition, Perspectives, Collecting the World, will open at Montrose Museum from this Saturday, August the 2nd. It promises to take visitors on a journey of discovery to far-flung places to help understand the ways in which the history of Angus is interwoven with world history, and see objects from around the world, which will be on display for the first time in decades. This includes samurai armour, a beautifully embellished wall panel from the Imperial Palace in China, handcrafted Fijian war clubs, and the manuscripts of explorer and diplomat Alexander Burns, who almost, but not quite, managed to change the course of world history. The Angus World Cultures Collection was largely amassed in the 19th century and features some of the earliest examples of collecting held in the county's museum stores. Restaurant is really hot stuff. A Forfar restaurant has been named as one of the finalists in the Scottish Food Calendar's Hottest Awards, which recognise the very best of India, China, Japan and Nepal. Jeet Fine Dining has made it to the shortlist for the title of Best Indian Restaurant North in this year's Spice Awards, widely regarded as the Oscars of the curry world. A host of sensational spots from cities, towns and villages across Scotland, offering Pan-Asian food of the very highest level, are highlighted. The gala final on Monday, September the 1st, will see the ultimate winners in a broad range of categories crowned after a panel of expert judges visit each finalist. Plus, a live cook-off event will determine the curry championship. Warren Paul, awards director, said, "We are incredibly proud of the passion the Spice Awards inspire across the whole of Scotland. The number of entries and votes this year was really crazy, way beyond our expectations. It's really rewarding to see how the appreciation for what we're trying to do in shining a light on these wonderful cuisines." These awards are growing every year, and different ideas, cultures and talents are being recognised from across the Asian continent as we celebrate the massive impact on Scotland. Thank you to everyone who has nominated or voted, and good luck to all our finalists. This truly is a celebration of some of the best food on the planet. We are very lucky to have such a rich and diverse culture in Scotland's hospitality scene. Opera highlights coming to Brechin. Tickets are now on sale for the new production of Scottish Opera's Opera Highlights, which is coming to Brechin City Hall in October. The audience will follow the story of four very different characters, watching how their personal relationships intertwine at the office party. With no shortage of messy romance and an unforgettable work soiree, this will be a night of opera to remember. The playlist combines much-loved classics with lesser-known pieces. These include music from Leoncavallo's Pagliacci, Gounod's Romeo and Juliet, Massenet's Werther, Handel's Alcina, and Samuel Barber's one-act opera, A Hand of Bridge. All are sung in English or an English translation, making the story immediate and accessible for the audience. Tickets for the show on Thursday, October the 9th, are available from the Scottish Opera website. Call to end mental health stereotypes. A national organisation is calling on Angus residents to rethink mental health stereotypes to help those suffering from stigma related to their conditions. Stigma continues to be a major barrier for people with experience of a mental illness, even facing stigma and lack of support from those closest to them. More than 9 in 10 people with experience of mental illness say that they have faced stigma in relationships with family and friends. See Me, the national programme to end Mental Health Stigma and Discrimination has said that people in Angus can do their part and help change this by rethinking their attitudes and showing greater support and understanding. Much of the discriminatory behaviour people face stems from public prejudice, which is a key barrier to people speaking up and seeking help with their mental health, and often influenced by a misleading image presented in the media and on social media. See Me volunteer Tommy Kelly is backing the programme's call for change, saying that stigma from those closest to him has had a major impact on his life. Tommy said he is still faced with judgment from family when he publicly discusses his mental health journey, but says he understands the benefits of sharing his story outweigh their reactions. Report reveals the value of Scottish water. A new review of the economic impact of Scottish water on Scotland's economy shows the business creates £4.5 billion of value every year. The report by independent economists Four Consulting found Scottish water supports more than 21,000 jobs directly and indirectly. The organisation, which is publicly owned, independently regulated and commercially run, also creates a high proportion of jobs in Scotland's areas of deprivation, the report found. Among its other conclusions are, for every £1 invested by Scottish Water, £3 in value is generated from the Scottish economy, reflecting strong economic returns on infrastructure spending and totalling £4.5 billion annually. Each direct job Scottish Water creates supports 4 jobs in Scotland, meaning water investment has a bigger multiplier effect on the Scottish economy than oil, gas and power sectors. Nearly 90% of Scottish Water's direct supply chain spending is with companies operating in Scotland. Its focus on investing in Scotland has strengthened over the last 10 years, resulting in a 23% increase in how many additional pounds are sustained across the rest of Scotland's economy. Well-loved business reaches 25 years. A well-loved Arbroath business is marking the 25th year since its foundation and is planning a family-friendly event to celebrate. Ashbrook Nursery, Garden Centre and Cafe on the outskirts of the town opened following a change of premises for the existing business of Anne and Joe Webster. The couple first started a market garden in 1987, growing mostly bedding plants and cut flowers for a wholesale to local businesses. Joe's brother, Francis Webster, joined the business in 2000 as it moved to its current location opposite R.M. Condor, at which point Ashbrook Nursery took root. From just 2 employees when it opened, Ashbrook has gradually grown into a substantial enterprise with a well-stocked garden centre, popular cafe, and now almost 40 staff, including the next generation of the Webster family. While Ashbrook has continued to grow as a business, Anne and Joe have stuck to their roots with most of the plants in the garden centre grown on site. This commitment extends to the cafe, with virtually all the cooking and baking homemade too. Anne said, 25 years have flown by, but it is satisfying to look back at what has been achieved in that time. We have been lucky to have had such enthusiastic, knowledgeable and friendly staff who have helped shape Ashbrook. We must thank our customers and the local community whose support and encouragement has helped drive the business forward.
Angus County Press, Thursday, August 7th, 2025. The headline is Helped to Tee Off Careers. There's a photograph of two golfers, Sean Logue and Ross Boyd, who have been given a sponsorship deal with Montrose Port Authority. The aspirations of two young Angus golfers have been given a boost with an ongoing sponsorship by Montrose Port Authority. The vital funding will enable Professional Golfers Association players Ross Boyd and Sean Logue's travel across Scotland as they compete in the Tartan Tour, a development golf tour that has boosted the careers of a number of acclaimed players, including 1999 Open champion Paul Lowry. They work together at Montrose Golf Links, where they support retail operations, custom fitting and player coaching. Sean's father was also a PGA professional, while Ross's dad, Jason Boyd, is well known to local golfers, serving as a Links head PGA accredited golf professional at the facility with them. Objections to housing. Opposition is growing in Carnoustie to proposals to use the site of a former primary school for affordable housing. Angus Council has put forward plans for 11 affordable homes on the site of the former Kinloch Primary School. But so far, more than 30 local objections to the scheme have been lodged. The plot at the corner of Dundee Street and Lynx Avenue has been empty since the school's demolition in 2010. Several proposals for the site were put forward, including a joint project between Sainsbury's and Greggs, but it never materialised. The 0.3 hectare site was then taken off the market for council housing plans to be drawn up, and an application lodged last month. If approved, the local authority hopes to begin work on the £2.3 million project in 2027, with the first residents moving in the following year. However, there have already been dozens of letters of objections lodged, with residents saying they want to see the site kept as a community space. They also fear the additional pressure more new homes will put on local services. The Roads Department has raised no objection, but has asked for the pavement on Lynx Avenue to be widened to 2 metres, as well as a 25-metre visibility display at a new access into the site from Lynx Avenue. The council has set a target date of September the 8th to determine the application. Wellbeing Fund now open. Organisations can now apply for the Whole Family Wellbeing Fund to support transformational change for families in Angus. The fund can provide small grants of up to £25,000, administered by Voluntary Action Angus, larger grants up to £50,000. An optional £20,000 startup support is also available for voluntary and community organisations, registered charities, clubs, not-for-profits, community councils and statutory services. Angus Council is looking for innovative, collaborative proposals that focus on early intervention, prevention and reducing pressure on crisis services. Further information can be found on the Council's Whole Family Wellbeing Fund webpage. Applicants for small grants should do so through the Voluntary Action Angus website. The deadline for applications to be submitted is Friday, August the 22nd. Palace offers sweet treat. One of Tayside's top tourist attractions is putting forward a cool offer for children this weekend. This summer, children aged 15 and under already enjoy free entry to Scone Palace as part of the continuing Kids Go Free promotion, which ends on Friday, August the 15th. But on Saturday, August the 9th, the first 100 young visitors will also receive a free ice cream, making a day out at the ancient crowning place of Scottish kings even more delicious. Located in Perth, it is a historic landmark known for its rich heritage and stunning gardens. Families can explore the palace and gardens, take part in a fun children's treasure hunt, which features an edible prize, and soak up the summer in 100 acres of beautiful grounds. Surfacing work starts. A 3-week programme of roadworks is due to start this weekend on the A92 between Arbroath and Monifieth. Bear Scotland, on behalf of Claymore Roads, is set to carry out road surfacing upgrades at 7 locations, starting on Sunday, August the 10th. Works will be carried out overnight between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. and are expected to be completed by the morning of Friday, August the 29th. No work will take place on Friday or Saturday nights. Out with working hours, traffic management will be removed and the road will be fully reopened from 7 a.m. Consultation on Draft River Management Plan. The public's views are being sought on the formation of a new management plan for the River South Esk. The River South Esk catchment is of great value to local communities and businesses and tourism providers. It provides drinking water, irrigation for crops and watering for livestock. It also supports many valuable wildlife habitats and is the basis for tourism, recreation and angling. Issues such as climate change, erosion, flooding, drought, pollution and disconnected habitats can reduce the health of the river and the wider catchment area. Previously, the River South Esk Catchment Partnership has managed projects by implementing the first River South Esk Catchment Management Plan. The partnership is now in the process of producing a second management plan covering from 2026 to 2036. Drivers charged after speed checks. Members of the Canoustie, Monifieth and Sidlaws policing team have been out recently conducting speed checks in their area. The officers have responded in locations which have been highlighted by members of the public as being of particular concern. Targeted checks were conducted on Ashludy Terrace, Dalhousie Street and Panmure Street in Monifieth, as well as Upper Victoria in Canoustie. During this operation, two drivers were cautioned and charged and will be reported to the Procurator Fiscal. Progress on wind farm project. The development of a major wind farm off the Angus coast has taken another step forward with the construction of a structure vital to the project. The Inchcape offshore wind farm, offshore jacket foundation and substation platform have been successfully installed at the North Sea site. The Siemens Energy offshore transformation module and its 68-metre jacket foundation were positioned last week 21 kilometres from Arbroath. The compact 2,700-tonne platform comprises two circuits with two transformers and reactors. The modular fabrication, which enables offshore wind platforms to be smaller and lighter than conventional alternating current designs, has now been in use for 10 years. Around 80 local UK subcontractors supported the project with work that involved lifting, scaffolding, engineering and coating. Construction of the project's onshore substation and landfall works in Cockenzie, East Lothian are well advanced, and the next key offshore activity will be the installation of the first of two export cables scheduled for late summer this year. First power is expected in late 2026 and with commercial operation date in 2027. Developers call house on site. A bid for 5 new homes to be built on the site of a former Forfar bingo hall has been approved. Under the plans lodged by local firm Albemuir, 5 single-bedroom retirement homes will be built on the town centre site. Each will have its own amenity space, as well as a communal wildlife garden on the boundary with Queen Street. Parking for 12 cars is also included. The pavilion was destroyed by a fire almost 5 years ago. The blaze tore through the empty premises on a Sunday afternoon in November 2020, and the building was demolished as a result. The premises had been empty for more than 15 years when it burned down. Plans for 6 single-storey houses on the site were lodged in 2024, but these were subsequently withdrawn. The new development was approved by council planning officers under delegated powers. Head chef relishes new role at Angus Resort. There is a photograph of Chef Kieran Turner, who has been appointed as Forb of Kilkenny's new head chef. A career in the army took Chef Kieran Turner around the world, but his new role at Forbes of Kilkenny Country Resort at Wellbank will see him bring the best of Angus's larder to diners. Kieran was brought up in an army family and moved around as a child, including stints in Germany, Northern Ireland and England, before signing up himself and working as a chef. After leaving the army, he built his career working for Green King and Zizzi's Italian, then Roos Leap in Montrose. His most recent role was as chef manager at Angus Grill and Larder near Brechin, where he was responsible for everything from menus and marketing to training and recruitment before the challenging economic climate forced his closure last year. He is now responsible for a team of 11, designing and producing delicious meals for special occasions in the Scullery Restaurant, informal food in the Kernowmount Bar, private dining in the Bud and Burn Suite, and catering for weddings and events. Kieran, 33, said he was excited to develop the resort's long-established food offering and menu. He also has plans to introduce events such as barbecues with live music, homemade pizza and meats which have been smoked in-house. Care Home celebrates residents' friendship. There's a photograph of 2 Balcarres residents, Mina and Aileen. Balcarres Care Home in Broughty Ferry recently celebrated the heartwarming friendship of 2 remarkable residents, Mina Kiernan and Aileen Gibbs. Their bond has become a beacon of joy and connection with the home's community, and was highlighted during the recently celebration of International Friendship Day. Mina, a former domestic worker in her 80s, and Aileen, a former nurse in her 90s, arrived at HC1 Scotland's Balcarres Care Home 2 years ago, within weeks of each other. From their first meeting in the communal lounge, an instant connection sparked. Together they transformed the transition to care home life into an opportunity for profound companionship, and their friendship quickly flourished. The impact of their friendship extends beyond their bond to create a more empathetic atmosphere at the care home. Football scores. Brechin Vicks 2, Montrose Rosalie 2. Brechin City led the way on goal difference at the top of the Highland League after adding another 8 goals to their tally in their last 2 games. Having opened their league account with a 4-0 opening day win over Lossiemouth, City travelled to Keith last Wednesday night and recorded a fine 5-0 victory. This was followed up with a 3-0 win over Strathspey Thistle at Glebe Park on Saturday. Forfar Athletic opened their League 2 campaign with a narrow 1-0 home win against Stranraer on Saturday. This week in history. August 10, 1990, the Magellan space probe reached Venus. August 11, 1975, the British government took ownership of British Leyland, the only major British-owned car company. August 12, 1960, communications satellite Echo was launched from Cape Canaveral. August 13, 1961, East German border guards stopped cars passing to the east through the Brandenburg Gate, thus sealing the border and preventing an exodus to the west. Barbed wire was erected, later to be replaced by the Berlin Wall.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Alan, with an article written by Heather to warn you about a forthcoming test that will send a message to around 87 million mobile phones across the UK. A national test of the UK's emergency alerts system will be taking place on Sunday, the 7th of September at 3 p.m, targeting around 87 million mobile phones and tablets. This means a test message will be sent to every compatible mobile phone and tablet in the country. So, if you have a mobile or tablet that works on the 4G or 5G network, you can expect to receive a message on the afternoon of the 7th of September. However, if you have an older mobile phone, for example those designed to link to the 3G network, it is unlikely that you will be able to receive the message. As this is just a test, there is nothing to worry about, and you don't need to take any action. But in running the test, the government is keen to make sure that the national alert system is working properly in case it is needed to tell people about a real emergency. Government ministers have likened the exercise to a fire alarm test. The test emergency alert will look and sound different to the usual messages you receive on your phone or tablet. There will be a loud, siren-like sound for around 10 seconds, even if your devices are set to silent, and your phone or tablet will vibrate. The message that appears on screens will make it clear that it is a test, and that there is no danger to life. Audio and vibration signals are an integral part of the test, to help make sure that you are alerted to the arrival of the message if you are visually impaired or hearing impaired. This will be the second UK-wide test of the emergency alert system, following the first test back in April 2023. Since then, the alert system has been used in real emergency situations, with warning messages sent to devices in regions affected by very severe weather, such as Storm Dara and Storm Eowyn. In another case, emergency alerts were sent to residents in a large conurbation when an unexploded World War II bomb was discovered. Fortunately, the test on the 7th of September carries no risk to life, so there's nothing to worry about this time. It is possible to opt out of emergency alerts, including the national test, but the government strongly advises everyone to keep alerts switched on. Information on opting out can be found online at www.gov.uk/alerts/opting-out. But remember that opting out would mean you won't receive real emergency alerts in dangerous situations.
TNS Soundings. TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Alastair Hutton with an article written by Heather about a successful young business owner providing braille materials for other visually impaired people. A young visually impaired entrepreneur has won a King's Trust Enterprise Award for his business selling braille cards, colouring books, artwork and pen menus. Brandon Hulcoop, aged 23, set up his business called All Things Dotty in 2023 and received his award this summer in the King's Trust National Finals. The King's Trust is the new name for the Prince's Trust. The organisation was established in 1976 by Prince Charles, as he was then, to provide support and encouragement for young people at a time of high youth unemployment. Over the past 49 years, the Trust has mentored over 1 million young people, helping them to start businesses or make the most of education, training and employment opportunities. Brandon's award-winning business idea has its roots in dual frustrations that he encountered because of the visual impairment he was born with. As a Braille user, he couldn't read traditional menus or birthday cards, and he found it difficult to find employment despite applying for more than 1,000 jobs. Keen to do something useful, Brandon joined the King's Trust Enterprise Program and received help to set up his own business, making accessible products for visually impaired people, their families and businesses. His products range from Braille menus to greeting cards to colouring books and artwork. Brandon, from Plymouth, says that being able to take part in the King's Trust program made him feel like he had a future. He adds, "The program taught me all the vital skills I needed, but also, more importantly, conducted me to my incredible mentor, Mike. I couldn't have done it without him. He doesn't realise what a massive impact he has each and every day. Once I was being supported by the Trust, it felt like there weren't any barriers for me anymore. All of the course materials were modified for me. No other companies would do that for me. I just can't find the words to express how much that meant to me. I just needed a chance, and the Trust provided it." Since his win, Brandon continues to run and expand All Things Dotty and has now moved the business into its own offices. Brandon is delighted that his business has taken off. He sums it up saying, "It was a long-term ambition, now achieved, and I'm proud and content, excited to see what the future holds."
TNS Soundings.